T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Popcorn
rip. On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hertle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And welcome in to a Wednesday edition. Shane and Jacob Albrock setting in for Bruce one last time. Jed Chambers running the show. What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets out at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, where it's Why Not Wednesday out there. So think about Side Pockets come lunchtime. A little baseball talk right off the top. Hunter Dozier and Kumar Rocker had nice nights last night, it's fair to say. We'll get into that in a second. But, Jacob, I want to start on maybe a little bit of breaking news from ESPN. Bob Lee, who, if he's not their longest tenured broadcaster there, he's way up there among them. Has announced.
Yeah, he is. I think he was there from the beginning.
40 years, something like that. So
yep.
He's going to retire today. And for all the carnival barkers and hot take machines that ESPN has spewed out the last 8 or 10 years, Bob Lee is the anti-screamer. Loved Bob Lee, and it's really hard to find fault in really anything that he did. He did outside the lines for the last I don't know how many years, but. For those that still hang with ESPN, and I know some people have gotten off of them over the last couple of years, Bob Lee is a real gem.
He is rare in what he does and what he does so well. The anti-stick-to-sports guy, because he ventured into those territories constantly. Bob Costas did it. You know, to me, those are the two guys that when you needed some meat on more than just the sports themselves, those two could provide it as anchors anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing that at the same time, like literally as we're coming on on the air here. So that's a good, 40 years, great run. He had a fantastic career, and they've got some other people that are really talented that can slide in there, I'm sure. But yeah, Bob Lee, man, you lose Berman. You lose Bob Lee. Dan Patrick's been gone a while now. Yeah. Like the old gang is gone from ESPN, and that's we've seen that writing on the wall for a long time. But Bob Lee was sort of separate from all that with his outside the lines and or World Cup coverage or whatever it is that he would step in on was always so good.
And for those that are really into journalism and worried about the moral compass of all of us, then they would really lament the fact that Lee is retiring at a time where ESPN and everybody else needs this guy or guys like him now more than ever. But understanding he can't do it forever, and he's done it for 40 years, and he's 63, so more power to him. But as we get further and further away from real journalism and journalists, he was he's one of the dinosaurs, all due respect. So. And then there's Kevin Keatsman on the other end of the spectrum. He got suspended yesterday. Did you hear that? Jeez.
I did.
We talked about him a little bit yesterday.
It's hard for us to talk about that because you don't want to... One, you don't want to give that sort of thing attention, but it warranted attention because of the blowback and everything else that got. If you missed it, he whether he'll admit it or not, basically equated Andy Reid's inability to fix players to his sons, one of whom committed or killed himself because of a drug addiction. And it just totally out of line, totally inappropriate, totally, whatever point you're trying to make there, it's not relevant to anything that's going on, what's gone on these tragedies in Andy Reid's life. Like, what in the world? All that is the need to try and, I mean, you said hot take, Barker. Yes. Like, that's all that is. Like, yes. That's not even thoughtful. Like, you can't even come around. And I saw his explanation afterward, and then he wasn't intending
that may
to
have
death.
Been, that may have been even worse, his apology, honestly.
Yeah, because you're sitting there saying you only meant their drug use, not the end game of that drug use and the fact that Andy Reid hired them. You're going to get on a guy who's trying to save his sons, and I don't know all the details of that situation, but what I do know is it has nothing to do with football. It has nothing to do with Andy Reid's ability to be a football coach, and it's this horrible tragedy that any parent is innately scared of and terrified of and can sympathize with, and anybody who's dealt with that kind of stuff or a family member who's been addicted, like all of these things that you're just like, what? Like, I can't even fathom trying to go down that road when talking about Tyreek Hill, who is a knucklehead and making decisions on his own that are, you know, putting the Chiefs in a bad position. And yes, they deserve collectively some credit, or some blame, I should say, not credit, but blame for taking a risk there if indeed something happened, which, by the way, that's another interesting path to travel to what's going on with the Tyreek Hill situation. But you make those kinds of statements, you do that kind of stuff, and then you're shocked when it can. And like I said yesterday, I don't know anything about him, Keatsman. I don't never heard him that I know of. I don't think I've ever met him. Like, I don't know anything about him, whether I like him, don't like him. But all I know is
he is a
I know
lightning
of him through
rod
this.
In Kansas City, Jacob. Let me just tell you that he is a lightning rod. He is talked down to people that don't share his own opinion, and that doesn't make him unique. There are plenty of people out there like that. But he is he's taking pot shots at people, and now he finally it did it to himself, and his apology was about 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. It was recorded, and about half of it was about himself. And the apology, more than anything else, to me, was, I'm sorry that you guys misinterpreted what I said. I mean, at the very first of it, he apologized to Andy Reid and his family profusely, but then slowly but surely veered off that course and made it about himself and said, you misunderstood what I said. Well, if you're going to offer up an apology, either throw yourself at the mercy of the court, in this case the people, or explain exactly what you meant. Go into detail of what did you mean? If we misunderstood you so badly, what did you mean? Tell us. If it wasn't about him not being able to fix his family and mental unwellness, which is an unbelievably touchy subject for anybody that has ever encountered it or known anybody with some mental health issues, you should know by now in 2019, don't go anywhere near that. You'll come out of that looking badly. And Kevin Keatsman did. He's been suspended indefinitely, although in his at the station in Kansas City that he worked for, he's a part owner of it. So that's kind of a slippery slope when it comes to his employment and if he will continue to work there. But anyway, we talked about
so
that.
So I need to say, too, Garrett yeah. Reed, his son, is it was an accidental overdose. So just as the new, we want to get that straight, but an accidental heroin overdose, still due to addiction and still a very troubled man that Andy Reed has had to, you know, suffer through the emotional toll of things like that. And it's just, you know, if you're going to be a blowhard and try and do things to get attention, right?
Yep.
And you are surprised when that attention is negative, it's hard to be sympathetic for that. In this business, you can be sympathetic to be taken out of context, mm-hmm. right? It happens all the time.
And I'll also say this, and this is not in his defense, but it's kind of just, we all need to stop and think about what it is we do. I mean, a lot of the stuff you and I and Bruce or Paul or anybody else in talk radio says, a lot of times is off the cuff, and
right.
you can't put paste back in the tube once you say something. So occasionally things are going to come out wrong or not quite as you intended, but to say Andy Reid is not a good fixer of people, and then to compare that to look at his family life, man, that's obviously way over the line. That's why he was suspended. And part of me thinks that Keatsman still doesn't quite understand why he got suspended. And at the very end of his quote-unquote apology, he thanked everybody that's been supporting him through all this, and I hope to be back on the air soon. I'm like, way to put a bow on that apology, Keats. Whatever.
All right. I don't know. And on the flip side, then you've got Bob Lee's retirement. So right. appreciate the people who do it the right way, can be entertaining at the same time. And Bob Lee's never trying to be entertaining, but he's phenomenal at his job, and we have that drama unfolding in Kansas City, mm-hmm. as which the blowback has been immense. So
and
whatever,
part of the reason why in this part of the country we're lamenting the fact that Bob Lee's leaving, you know, because we've heard about what happened in Kansas City. A little baseball talk from last night at the college level and in Cleveland with Kansas City. A couple of historic happenings going on pretty much at the same time. Kumar Rocker, who is a freshman pitcher at Vanderbilt, allowed one run in 6 1/3 innings against Michigan. They force a winner-take-all game tonight at 6 o'clock. Rocker struck out 11 Michigan batters, the most strikeouts to any Vanderbilt pitcher has recorded in a College World Series, tied for the most by any pitcher in the 17-year history of the CWS Finals. And this not all that far removed from a no-hitter in an elimination game in the Super Regional against Duke, where he struck out 19 and walked 2 in 9 innings. In the postseason, in the NCAA tournament, regional, supers, and College World Series, Kumar Rocker is 4-0 with an 0.96 ERA and 44 strikeouts in 28 innings. He is the son of Tracy Rocker, who used to play defensive line for Auburn. Kumar Rocker keeps Vanderbilt alive in the College World Series and putting off the celebration by the Michigan Wolverines, which would be the first Big Ten College World Series champion since 1966. Is this a true David versus Goliath? And will you tune in tonight at 6 o'clock if you can?
No, I don't think it's David versus Goliath. I don't think the format lends itself to any matchup really being David versus Goliath in baseball. Maybe a pitching matchup. Maybe yesterday was. Kumar Rocker, is he... So, and I don't know enough about this, and I'm going to assume that you know more about it. Where does he fall as far as next year when he comes out? Is
he won't. Like the number he's one only a prospect? Sophomore. No, he'll only be a sophomore.
Oh,
he's not draft eligible.
Right. So he's got 2 years.
Yeah. If he wanted to sign, Goodness. It should have been last year out of high school. Yeah.
So is he thought of that highly, though, in MLB circles?
Absolutely. And
the reason I ask that is because the Royals will be in contention there mm-hmm. next year, but I don't think that they will be 2 years from now. That's the reason that comes to it. You know, you see performances like that, and you're like, oh, my God, the big leaguers are going to line up to get this guy.
Mm-hmm. He'll only be a sophomore next year.
If we want to take David versus Goliath, it's that you've got a normal powerhouse in college baseball versus a team that hasn't been there forever.
Right.
And Michigan, by the way, is so easy to root for when you hear from their coach. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember if it was in the College World Series or the Super Regionals, talk about the construction of his roster and what went into it. Like, it's easy to root for Michigan, and I am not a Michigan fan. I grew up rooting against them at everything. But it's easy to root for them here. And Vanderbilt, you know, we've seen that story a little bit. So, okay. Yeah, you can get the feel of that, but I think in reality, it's in David versus Goliath tonight at all. It's probably about a 50-50 proposition,
well,
don't you think? Rocker ain't pitching again.
At the very, very end of the day, yeah, it's one game. Either team could win it for sure, but we're talking about a Northern school, Big Ten school making it to the College World Series. There was a game against Illinois, I think, in the Big Ten tournament. Like, if Michigan didn't win it, they weren't getting in. And they won and then faced elimination in Corvallis in the Oregon State Regional. And then they went out to UCLA and beat the number one team in the country. So if you look at it in totality, this is probably a really nice underdog story because, as I mentioned yesterday, we're 200-1 long shot to win it once the postseason teams were announced when they were one of them. But, yeah, now it all comes down to one game, and that's tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll have that right here on KFH. So right after right after the drive is over, we'll have the national champ, what turns out to be a national championship game, Michigan and Vanderbilt from Omaha. Kansas City was 0-42 when trailing after eight innings before Hunter Dozier capped a five-run Royals rally on the ninth off the best closer in the American League. Brad Hand gave up a grand slam to Dozier. Hand had been 22 for 22 in save chances and had given up four runs all year long before the Royals got five without recording an out. Royals 8, Indians 6. The rubber match of that series is today also on KFH, and that's a high noon start. So getaway day before an off day for Kansas City. They'll have a chance to win the series after pulling off an improbable comeback, trailing 6-3 in the top of the ninth against the Cleveland closer that was perfect before last night. He had been out there for the fifth time in the past 6 days, so there's that. And he just kind of threw a hanging slider to Dozier, and he hit it 406 feet with the bases loaded. And the Royals, who aren't contending for anything, let's be honest, had a nice feel-good moment against probably an all-star closer, and they improved to only 8-23 in Cleveland since 2016. So that's been a house of horrors for them. Nice little story. I was glad I stayed up for it. But
yeah, me too. I've been pulling double duty this week, so I'm out on set doing news shows, and so I run in after the nine to just sort of check in, and it was a last-minute ad. Literally in like 2 minutes, I had to get help with it, but it was like, wait, what just happened? A Dozier grand slam. I was like, okay, we got to get this in. So it was like a scramble to just get that in last second that had happened. It's such an interesting year for them. Such an interesting year for them because it could be wins and losses. It will be a disaster. Mm-hmm. But it does not feel like this season is a disaster to me because of, well, Dozier's the biggest reason.
Yeah, he is now.
Soler is a big reason. But if you come out of the season and those two guys are key contributors, like if this is for real with Dozier, which is possible, and I saw this comparison and I really wish that I could remember who made it. I know it happened on KCTV up in Kansas City's daily sports show that they run, but it brought up players that that have come on late, and Josh Donaldson was one of them as a direct comparison. Like sometimes guys develop later. Mm-hmm. And they can be really good players. And Donaldson's a great example. Nelson Cruz is a great example. Jose Bautista is a great example. You don't have to develop and blossom and be a 23-year-old phenomenon to be a great baseball player. Right.
Whit, you could throw him in there, too.
So if Dozier, even if Soler, I mean, Soler is what he is, I think, at this point. He'll strike out, but if he hits 40 home runs, you'll take it, right?
Yeah,
the Royals need a little of that in their
100%
lineup.
100% agree, yes.
But Dozier is looking like a perennial all-star type player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this is for real with Dozier, wouldn't you trade all the losses for 8 years of this from Dozier?
And don't forget about Mondesi, who's on the DL or IL.
Yeah, Mondesi's going to be a rock star, but
right.
I think everybody sort of assumed that after we saw him last year. Nobody thought Dozier was going to do this.
True.
Nobody did.
But now the Royals aren't just a one-trick pony, and it's like, let's just make sure and do everything we can to have
Adalberto
Mondesi develop.
Look at their infield.
Mm-hmm.
If Merrifield plays second. But look at you've got some real talent there, and they've got to find a couple other positions, but Salvador Perez comes back, and it's all about the pitching. And I know we've talked about this, but the construction of this looks like it's going to be a Dayton Moore masterpiece because it could all be capped by the drafting of all these college pitchers who could make a more an impact quicker than a lot of guys did last year, and those guys are doing well. But we'll start to perhaps see some of them get some late call-ups this year. They're on their way, and I'm really happy to see it because I was really worried when they held on for that extra year and a half to the old roster to try and win, which you can commend on one hand, but on the other, I always say, you know, you got to give me long-term success in baseball anyway. It looks like they're going to be well on their way, and honestly, it kind of sits square on the shoulders of 17, doesn't it? I mean, he's doing things offensively. He's a top three or four offensive player right now in the league, if not higher than that.
He's got a chance to make the All-Star game, and we can talk about that when we come back, the All-Star election and how it's evolved over the years. You talked about the Royals being interesting in spite of the wins and losses. Bruce and I talk about it all the time, the exact same thing. It's about to get more so, because remember Eric Skoglund and his 80-game suspension for testing positive for banned substances? Well, he's available now. He'll be added to the 40-man roster, which means the Royals are going to have to take somebody off. So, hey, Lucas Duda, even though you had an RBI double last night, you're hitting 159, brother. I would start looking for boxes. Somebody's going to have to. So,
yeah, probably going to need a little more than that.
An important move to be made on the 40-man roster for the Royals. Junis and Bauer, pitching matchup today at noon here on KFH. More baseball talk. The All-Star game is coming up, and we'll tell you the very latest on the MLB All-Star voting and what kind of chance does Hunter Dozier have to make it. We'll discuss when we come back on Wednesday Sports Daily, Shane and Jacob.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.